Axon, editor of IWC's Urgent Communications, and today I'm speaking with Dick Mergon. Dick, thanks for taking the time to speak with me.
Thanks, Donnie. I appreciate the opportunity to chat.
So, Dick, a lot of people know you wearing all kinds of different hats. Former president of APCO, you know, one of the lead guys advocating for the D Block on Capitol Hill. Certainly you started all things FirstNet. And then last week, I noticed that there's a new endeavor out there. Can you tell us about it?
Sure thing. Yeah, I started All Things ECC, which obviously, maybe not obviously, but is All Things Emergency Communications Center. And this was a derivative of All Things FirstNet. You know, All Things FirstNet was intended to touch the FirstNet community, help provide information, and support the FirstNet effort. Doing that and, you know, running that for the last couple of years, it dawned on me one day that who's really doing something similar as far as news aggregation and pushing general information good for the order for telecommunicators? And that started this idea of why not a website that was for telecommunicators, specifically focused at them. And so I developed All Things ECC to create a single point of aggregation for news articles that relate directly to telecommunicators, the job they do, the technology and equipment they use, and the environment they operate in. And, you know, this all started from basically the fact that, you know, I think we as a nation need to do more to pay homage to those people in those communication centers who are truly the first of first responders. And we need to help provide focus to that. And this is one of those ways of doing it, that after all my years of operating a 911 center, being involved with APCO, it's just another way for me to give back and help them and provide a service that hopefully is meaningful and important to them.
Well, and you mentioned raising that kind of awareness about what goes on in a 911 center. You know, you weren't always directing a 911 center. Did you have a different experience and different perception of 911 when you first got started?
Oh, yeah. There are, as a street cop in Metro Denver back in the 70s and 80s, many of the dispatchers for our agency will tell you I had a different perspective. You know, one of those cops that, you know, was always a little frustrated, thought they could do a better job. And the reality is, I didn't understand the job. I was looking at it from my world, and when I went to Nevada to consolidate some different dispatch agencies and create a consolidated center is when I developed a true respect for what they do, that their ability to multitask and to put up with all the information that comes into them and to do it minute after minute, hour after hour, every day, that it's a job that I couldn't do. It's a job that most people couldn't do. We tested hundreds of applications over the years that couldn't qualify. I've seen PhDs not be able to do that job. It's a very unique skill set. These are very talented people. And one of the things that we tend to forget is, you know, as a cop, I might experience one or two critical events during my shift. But that dispatch center experiences every critical event that happens in that time frame, every shift, every day. And so they are much more inundated with high stress and the need to be extremely competent in their job, much more than a lot of other functions within the public safety community. It's just, you know, my admiration for what they do is absolutely unending, a lot of respect, a job I couldn't do, and they do it very well every day.
Well, I'll tell you, I echo those thoughts 100% in terms of that's something I know I wouldn't be able to do very well. So I noticed that you called it All Things ECC as opposed to All Things PSAP. What do you think of the Emergency Communications Center term and how that differs from the traditional public safety answering point.
Yeah, I mean, I struggled for, you know, what terminology to use and how to use it. And, you know, PSAP traditionally is 911. There are some people in this country who see PSAP only as 911, even though we know it really encompasses both sides. So I was looking for a terminology, and this Emergency Communication Center has been out there a while. APCO has used it. And another business endeavor I'm involved with two other APCO past presidents, we did a white paper on what we called multimedia telecommunicators and what that was going to look like in the future. And this whole idea of a multimedia telecommunicator is, it's not a 911 center. It's not a dispatch center. It's not a fusion center. It's more like a real-time crime center on steroids where you actually have to deal with incidents live, real-time. So Emergency Communication Center, I just felt was the best representation, at least on the common terms used today, to put a category around what happens, what telecommunicators do. And so that's why Emergency Communication Center. There may be a better term out there, but for right now, that is the most all-encompassing for 911, for video, text, voice, for radio dispatch, for every all the services that are needed by the people who are in the field driving the vehicles to those incidents.
All right. Very true. So, you know, you were on Capitol Hill along with a handful of other folks that helped talk with the lawmakers in Congress and ultimately got the D block assigned to public safety and created what became known as FirstNet. You saw what that process was like. Right now, the ECCs and PSAPs are looking at potential funding for next-gen 911. What are some of the things you would pass along in terms of what you learned from that experience, what was that, 9-10 years ago, that folks should use today as to try to get next-gen 911 legislation passed?
Yeah, so, you know, in qualifying my statements here, I am not part of this effort. I don't get to touch it day-to-day, outsider looking in. Obviously, I know a lot of the people who are engaged day-to-day and have talked to them about it. But the short version is that this is only going to happen, in my point of view, if public safety bands together. You know, we got $7 billion in cash, asked for $15. They're asking for, I think, $15 billion. Anyway, it's a significant number in the billions they're asking for. Congress isn't just going to hand it out because one public safety association or one segment wants it, because that's a lot of money. Congress will make that investment in public safety technology across the country if public safety can stand together. And I, you know, and I, as you heard me emphasize, you know, an investment in public safety technology. This is not just about delivering the 911 call. This is about connecting our communities to our first responders, trying to look at what we need holistically to change this environment. I will say something here that will be controversial, but I do believe this, and that is ESINet is an old technology. I mean, I realize we tweak it and we work on it. We talk about NG911, but we started this conversation. We started this work 15 years ago. And in a technology environment, it moves too fast. Part of the whole idea of FirstNet was that it's an entity that changes with technology, keeps up. When we started the FirstNet with the idea of the promise of LTE, and then it was 4G, and now it's 5G. It's literally moving with today's technology. I don't see our public safety networks on the 911 side necessarily keeping up with that. And so the stuff we've done in the past is good work. It was needed. But we got to do better. We need to do better. We can do better. But we only get there when all of public safety bands together, fire, police, EMS, telecommunicators, across the board. And so that's what it's going to take to move it, and that is the single key element, is they must band together.
And do you think, you know, they're, you know, FirstNet's certainly developing, and it's got its hiccups and things like that, but the bottom line is it is developed, it's being built, it's being developed and everything else. But there are a lot of, you know, people describe the different scenarios and everything, but if the 911 centers are not IP broadband capable, do you think FirstNet's ever going to, frankly, reach its optimal utilization?
No, I don't think FirstNet will, partly because it owns spectrum. I mean, the D block is, the license has been allocated to the FirstNet Authority. So that, you know, simply because of that, it has to evolve. The other reason why FirstNet won't is they are at the table. And when I say they and the table, meaning that you've got NIST and PSCR, you've got the Boulder Labs and FirstNet at the 3GPP table to talk about standards and the progression of 4G, 5G, and the future of technology. People don't realize what a big deal that is. You know, their ability to engage at that level, and when I say they, I mean FirstNet and PSCR, is huge. It is a giant leap forward than what we were doing in the past. I mean, P25 was, lack of a better term, our own standard. We as public safety came up with that. We fought about it. It's been out there for 25 years. We don't do that anymore. We sat at the table with the carriers and the device manufacturers, the chip manufacturers, the people who write the code. We talked to them about public safety needs. For the most part, they listen. As a general rule, they adopt a lot that what we need. I mean, I don't think necessarily we win every battle, but that is just a giant change that FirstNet has brought about that we didn't have before and wouldn't have if it hadn't been for FirstNet.
Right, and I apologize, I probably misspoke. My question was just kind of, you know, in terms of the vision of what FirstNet's going to be able to do, if the 911 or ECCs are not able to be broadband capable, do you think, you know, what goes out to the field is ever going to be reach its full potential if the people that are feeding it don't have these broadband capabilities?
So, well, first off, I think it will come. I mean, right. it has to. It's simply no different than the carriers no longer supporting copper wire. Mm-hmm. That the technology will change so much within the carrier community that public safety will have to change. And the other thing that I think that helps along is that the glue that keeps all this together is the CAD system. I mean, the CAD system is where all the information goes into. It comes out the other end. They'll be the ones that are going to manage the data. The telecommunicators will be deciding which data moves forward. And so all that will grow on its own, irrespective of what public safety does. Obviously, when public safety bands together on standards and looking at that technology for the future, it will grow better and more efficiently. But, you know, let's take text to 911, for example. I remember when the first person talked about text 9 to 911, everybody says, we don't want that. We haven't got the technology to take that. We don't know what to do with it. Well, now it's pretty well become a standard. You know, the community demands it. We do respond, but we respond in a bifurcated way in bits and pieces across the country. We need to do it holistically as one technology supporting the ECC side of this equation, so that when the person in Cincinnati, Ohio gets text to 911, then the person in Oakland, California gets it at the same time. Because what we have seen happen over the years is that first group that did text to 911 and that information got out, the communities across the country thought, oh, we can all text our 911 center. Well, they couldn't, and they still can't today. We have to solve for that problem.
Very true. Very true. Well, Dick, great insights as always, and thank you for taking so much time, and good luck with all things ECC.
Thanks, Donnie. Appreciate it.